Shortly before Pesach, I guess it was about exactly 2 weeks before Pesach, so I was told, I think by Larry, that that they found an error in the Sefer Torah in reading Parshas HaChodesh. And the question is, what is the proper response at that point? So I believe what they did was they stopped right there, they took out another Sefer Torah, and they continued reading from the, I guess, the pasuk in which the error had been found. And the question, of course, is, was that the correct decision? And I'd like to say that, and I haven't done it yet, but I plan to do it hopefully in the next couple of weeks, of which I think I will have many people very grateful to me, if nobody's done it already, but I don't think anybody has done it, which is it's actually just very important to have a card in the shul that the rabbi has and the gabbai has. There are very few things that a rabbi actually needs to know on his fingertips or on the tip of his tongue where he's got to respond literally instantly. Right, everything freezes in the shul, right? Okay, everybody, you know, there's that silence of when the Baal Kriya says something's not right here, and now the question is, what do we do? And as a rabbi, you don't have the time to open up the Shulchan Aruch, even if you know exactly what the siman is and start reading through the Mishnah Berurah. What do we do now? And that's just not a choice, right? Almost every other shaila, almost not every, but almost every shaila, you can have time. You might have a little time. You might have a lot of time to come up with an answer. But here you just have to know what to do. And I have to say that I know from my end, it's particularly frustrating because when Larry asked me the question. So I said the following. You know, I've taught this like two or three times to Smicha students as part of the fourth year, some part of fourth year, you know, practical rabbinics, and I don't remember exactly what we do in this case. So I've taught it. I've taught these makaros multiple times, and it reminded me what I thought about in the past. Is that you need the card that just says you look at. I mean, the gabbaim could review it themselves, also know what to do. But when you're in this circumstance, that circumstance, the other circumstance, this is exactly what you do. You do stop the reading here. You do make a bracha. You start the next day. You don't. You stop in the middle, and so on. So I wanted to actually explore that this morning. In order to do that, we really have to address. We have to break it down into two discussions. First, what makes a Sefer Torah puzzle, and it doesn't matter? I know that sounds like a strange question, but when we get to the second part, and a very famous tshuva of the Rambam, a very responsum of the Rambam, you'll see what I mean by that. But first I wanted to discuss what makes a Sefer Torah puzzle. So, if you take a
puzzle, you can't read from it, or puzzle for what purposes?
Well, don't spoil my don't ruin the share. Okay. I can't give away everything yet. That's that is, though, essentially the question. In other words, what does it mean for Sefer Torah to be puzzle? What's the nafkamina? What's the practical difference? So, you said, is it a problem of reading from the Sefer Torah, or is there a different problem with the Sefer Torah? So, we will eventually get to that, but before we talk about what it's possible for, let's talk about whether it is or isn't possible. Right? Sefer Torah is a major, major undertaking. It is not a small thing. There is a very interesting halachic requirement by tefillin and mezuzahs that doesn't exist by Sefer Torah, and I'll tell you my personal theory as to why, even though it's probably not what the Gemara says. There's a din by tefillin and mezuzah that when you write the parshios, they have to be written in order. Meaning if you make a mistake in the letter, you cannot go back and fix the tefillin or the mezuzah unless it's the letter you just made a mistake in. Now, theoretically, if I made a mistake 3 words ago, I could erase everything back to that word, provided that I haven't written a Shem Hashem yet. Yeah. Then I could use it. But what that means, practically speaking, is that whenever a real psul, whenever you find someone, let's say, whether it was that way originally, or let's say a letter cracked and broke away. If a letter broke away completely in the middle of a parsha of the mezuzah or in your tefillin, said you can't use those parsha, you can't use those parshios anymore.
Could you lightly go over it from the beginning? Like lightly go over everything you've done up? Rather than
The answer is probably no. That would have solved the Shem Hashem problem. That's a question of Ksav al Gabi Ksav. That's a whole sugya in its own right. But the answer is, let's assume for the moment, that's not really a solution. And you might also ask the question, you might have to do the entire thing anyway. What would depending on where it is, might not be very worthwhile to you. Again, if it's the last few words, sure, you could erase backwards. Probably that you could do also. But let's assume for the moment, ksav al gabe ksav is when you already have something in writing there. So there's a whole shayla in different areas. For example, on Shabbos, you're chayav, you're mechalal Shabbos if you write two letters. What happens if you write two letters on top of two letters that were there already, the identical letters, right? Ksav al gabe ksav. So that's a whole discussion. So it may not be actually ksav, in which case it won't solve your problem here. Okay. But that's a requirement by tefillin and mezuzah. And I think the Gemara has it on the basis of a pasuk, v'hayu or something, has to be in the proper order. Now, is there a requirement of, it has to be kisidron. It has to be written in order. Now, is there such a requirement by Sefer Torah? So I think you all know the answer to the question, which is, of course not. You've heard they fix a Sefer Torah, right? There's probably hardly a Sefer Torah been written that didn't have some error in it that eventually had to be fixed, right? Now, why is that the case? So the answer is, so there's no Gzeiras HaKas of V'hayu, that's true, but it's probably also because it's inconceivable the halacha would require that, otherwise you wouldn't have such a thing as a kosher Sefer Torah, right? It's not possible. We're human beings. It is very likely that Sofrim will have perfect tefillin and mezuzahs, but even there, sometimes funny things happen. I remember when we got married, for our part, we had to buy like 7 or 8 mezuzahs. So I went to the sofer that I knew in Muncie, and he didn't write them, but he bought and resold, and he checked the mezuzahs, and I brought them back to our apartment. I said I wanted to check the mezuzahs too. The only problem is, I don't know when a word is written male and chaser, right? I don't, you know, I could read in it, I would know if a word is missing, but I wouldn't know male and chaser. So what did I, how do you check then? So I figured the following, what are the odds that 2 mezuzahs have a mistake in them? Very low. So I decide to compare them one, and they're all written the same, at this point, same lines. And then the most amazing thing that I discovered that the original sofer made a mistake, and the sofer who sold them to me missed, is that one of the mezuzahs read, V'haya im shamoa tishma el mitzosai. That was not even that wasn't like a cracked letter, you know, it wasn't, I would even call a classic mole v'chaser, you know, was totafos with a vav, without a vav. It's like missing at the end a word that anybody would spot immediately. So anyway,
Get a refund?
What's that? He replaced them as I said, don't worry. I have to imagine, I felt bad because you have to imagine the mortification. It's not the classic, you know, a defective versus a full spelling, you know, on many words that many of us might sort of make the mistake. This was a one big boo-boo. So mezuzahs and tefillin, you're going to find that will in fact be perfect. Perfect, at least, whatever our tradition of writing letters, even though sometimes there may be machlokas, but given a text that you're trying to emulate, you can expect that tefillin and mezuzahs will be perfect. So from write them repeatedly, it's a fairly small endeavor. I don't know if they check very carefully and write things. Okay, that's true for tefillin and mezuzah. Sefer Torah, that's a major undertaking. So, the Gemara in Gittin, which is the first source on the sheet, records the following question. Shalchu le b'nei gole le Rabbi Chelbo. The Jews in the Galilee sent to Rabbi Chelbo the following question. Mahu likros b'chumashim b'beis ha-kneses b'tzibor. They wanted to know whether, assuming you don't have a Sefer Torah, can you read out of a chumash in the shul in the tzibor? Now remember, a chumash does not mean what you think a chumash means. You think a chumash means, that's a chumash, that's a Torah Chaim chumash. This is obviously before the age of printing. The chumash was a scroll. But instead of being all the Chamisha, Chumshei Torah, or there are 5 or 7, depending on how you count, instead it was just a Sefer Bereishis. Okay? We're reading, or you have a Sefer Vayikra, right? We're going to read this coming Shabbos, Shmini. Finally, we'll get past the first Aliyah of Shmini after 7 times of reading it on Shabbos. We'll finally read one more time and continue on, right? And we're gonna read Shmini. And let's say, you know, the shuls, all the Sfarim, they loaned out for various purposes, and somebody has a cloth, a sefer written just part sefer vayikra. Are you allowed to read from that in the tzibur? So lo hava biyadei, Rabbi Chelbo didn't know the answer. Asa shayli le Rabbi Yitzchak nafcha. He asked Rabbi Yitzchak nafcha. He was a blacksmith. Lo hava biyadei, he didn't know either. Asa shal be midrasha. Finally, they came into the base medrash. I'm not sure who they asked, but upashtu amehada amar Rashmul bar Nachmani amar Rabbi Yochanan. They drew the halachic conclusion based from the following statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Sefer Torah shechaser yiriya achas ein korin bo. Rabbi Yochanan said, if a Sefer Torah is missing one entire yiriya probably is not just a column, but a yiriya is a sheet of cloth, right? On a cloth, I don't remember the exact rules, we usually have 3 or 4, something like that, written on a single, 3 or 4 columns written on a single urea. You can theoretically write more, although it's not, my recollection when we purchased an Echa cloth, which is 5 columns, is that it's not easy to find a single piece of parchment that big. So we usually write, I think, 3 or 4 columns on a urea. If it's missing one urea, Rabbi Yochanan said, the Sefer Torah in Korinbo. That's what he said, Ein Korinbo. He didn't say anything about Pasul or not. He said, Ein Korinbo. So that's the conclusion they wanted to reach. And a Chumash is missing many Yerios, right? If there are 200 and something, I think, columns, I don't remember, Urias there on a Sefer Torah, said a Chumash is missing 80% of them. So if that's the case, of course you can't read from a Chumash and Sibur. Then the Gemara says, Velohi, and the inference is wrong. That's what happens when you ask a bunch of base medrash guys. You gotta ask someone who knows what they're talking about, right? And they say, Velohi, it's wrong. Hasa mechaser b'milsei hachala mechaser b'milsei. No, a Sefer Torah that's missing one Urea, it's missing a part. It's supposed to be a Sefer Torah. Here I have an entire Chumash. Yeah, and therefore that could potentially be valid. There is a very, very interesting tshuva no debut. That's an embarrassing tshuva no debut that had to be written actually. Somebody once asked me. He thought I don't read German terribly well, but he thought maybe I could translate the opening lines, which were really written in German. The no debut that was asked Gashayla by the Kaiser's one of his high officials of the following: a Jew apparently had been involved in a din Torah. In a business partnership with a non-Jew, and he had sworn that he would do something, and he swore on a Sefer Torah. And now the Gentile was trying to force him based upon his oath, and the Jew claimed that his oath wasn't binding because the Sefer Torah was possible. That is correct. Now, this is one of the most amazing tshuvos I've ever seen, because normally when poskim, Nodi Behuda was one of the most prominent poskim in the last 1,000 years. He was the Rebbechezka Landau of Prague. He lived in the 18th century. He was really probably the foremost luminary, of psak in Europe in his generation. So Nodi Behuda, so normally you find Gemaras and Tosfos and Rishonim and discussions and Shulchan Aruch and so on. Here, he just starts quoting psukim to say that the Torah says you can't swear falsely, and it doesn't say you have to be holding a Sefer Torah when you swear.
The
first issue he deals with is whether or not it's necessary to be binding in a Torah, which is probably not. Right? So it doesn't matter whether the Sefer Torah is possible. But then the reason I mentioned this here, he says something very clever. He says, besides, even if the Sefer Torah had a psul in it, that would only be if every single chumash had a psul in it. But if any one chumash in that Torah was didn't have an error in it, so that's a chefza shel mitzvah. That's enough to make your oath valid. So again, it's a tshuva that it's embarrassing that it had to be written, right? But anyway, so such a tshuva exists.
Do we have any record of before the Talmud Bavli of a Sefer Torah being in one long scroll or five individual scrolls? Historically, there's one record in a place called Durus Europus.
But that's later, right?
That was
the Amorite period.
200 AD. But over
earlier,
there,
I'm thinking in the Qumran scrolls.
Because there's five separate sections, and according to the experts, the Chumashim were written in those days in five separate sections.
So it's clear that you have individual Sfarim. The only place that you're going to be even able to discern anything would be if, and it won't, it's only going to prove if you find it, it's probably not going to prove if you don't find it, is to see if any of the Qumran scrolls, any of the biblical scrolls, because most of the Dead Sea Scrolls are biblical scrolls. They're not exciting things that contain the secrets of the Messiah or Christianity, anything else like that. Then you might have read the newspapers. About two-thirds of the Dead Sea Scrolls are just biblical scrolls. They're very interesting for biblical studies and the history of the text, but they're not that interesting, for any of the great secrets that are being withheld from us, and the great conspiracies. So that's the place to look. I don't remember offhand if any of the Qumran, Pentateuchal scrolls are more than a single book. I don't remember. Okay. So anyway, so that's what the Gemara says. Now, what does this tell? It doesn't say anything about a Sefer Torah being possible. It just says, in Korin Bo. So the Gemara rejects the inference, but one thing we do know, a Sefer Torah that's missing in Aria, in Korin Bo. You can't use it for Kriya purposes. Okay, so now, if we look at the Gemara Megillah speaks about a situation where you wrote something wrong in a Sefer Torah. V'riminhu, the second source, Mikra Shekzavo Targum, Targum Shekzavo Mikra. If you write a pasuk in the Torah, let's say, or it could be even in Tanakh, which is supposed to be in Mikra, it's supposed to be in Hebrew, and instead you write it in Targum, which means Aramaic, or if it's supposed to be written in Aramaic, the Targum Shekzavu Mikra, but you wrote it in Hebrew. In the Torah, we have two words in the Torah that are pure Aramaic, that are Yegar Sohadusa, in Parashas Vayetze. When Lavan named the pile of rocks, Yaakov called it Galed, and Lavan called it Yegar Sohadusa. There are other words in the Torah that are related to Aramaic words, but those are only two pure Aramaic words in the Torah that are presented as Aramaic. So if you were to write, some guy who's clever, the Balabatim are not going to understand when they read Yegar Sohadusa, so just say, Lavan Karalo Galed, or something like that. So that's what he decided it would sound, would work better. The poor Baal Kriya shouldn't have to twist his tongue. So, if he did that, or Ksavivri, if you write a Sefer Torah in Paleo Hebrew, that's the old script, Einam etame seyadayim, ad sheikh devenu bichsav ashuris ala sefer b'dio. Okay, so that's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara, that's what the Brisa says. You have to write it in Hebrew, meaning in Ksav Ashuri, which is our script, on a sefer, on a cloth, and with ink, whatever dio is defined as. So the Gemara suggests, the Gemara wants to know what's the situation of writing Targum Shiksavo Mikra, Mikra Shiksavo Targum, and it mentions that if you want a case in the Torah, it's also talking about other books like Megillas Esther, which doesn't really have straight Aramaic in it, or at least it doesn't seem so on the surface. So the Gemara says, in the Torah at least, you could miswrite the words Yigar Sa'adusa. So it sounds from the Gemara at this point that if you wrote the words Yigar Sa'adusa in Hebrew, the Sefer Torah would be no good. So Tosus says, but wait. The Tosus says, "V'kasha amai mifsa lebahachi." The third source. Why does that make the Sefer Torah puzzle? V'halo ilu hayachaser kol elu ashalosh tevos lo mifsa lebahachi. Even if you were missing all the words, it wouldn't become puzzle. Kedamrina megitin Sefer Torah shachaser yiri achas ein karin bo. The Gemara we just read. It sounds like if the Sefer Torah is missing one entire cloth, it's no good. But if it's missing only part of one, that wouldn't be a problem. Mashma dafka yiriya achas aval pasach echad lo. Okay, so Tosis, what do you mean? If you left out the two words, Yigar Sahadusa, right? If you left out whatever words, a few words, it's not going to make it possible. The Gemara says to be possible, Rabbi Yochanan said, it has to be missing an entire yiriya. So Tosis first quotes an answer from Rashi that maybe it's worse when it's wrong than when it's not there. Right? Sometimes having it wrong is worse than negative is worse than zero. But Tosis doesn't like that. Instead, he suggests, you know what? It just means that you're not supposed to, all the Gemara is saying is that this is a sufficient error that you're supposed to fix it. Right? It's a ta'os v'tzarech lahagio. But Tosis, yeah, the Sefer Torah is not a problem if it's missing a few words. If you wrote a few words in Hebrew, it's supposed to be in Hebrew, you wrote in Aramaic, or vice versa. Yeah, you're supposed to fix it. That's the din. But it doesn't make the Sefer, it doesn't mean you can't use it. So, if you take a look, however, other Rishonim were not happy about this. The Rashba in particular, the Rashba writes in Gittin, Sefer Torah Shechasa Yiriya Achas, he says, Nira li, the Yiriya Achas lav dafka. It doesn't mean Yiriya Achas specifically. Dafilu ksav echad ma'akev. He says, even one letter makes a Sefer Torah no good. And he draws a kal v'chomer mitzvillin. Ditzran bebenachos beperaka komitz the ksav echad ma'akev. So there are two interesting things about the Rashba. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. The Rashba says that the Gemara Menachos claims that if tefillin is missing one letter that's wrong, the tefillin are psulim. And he says you make a kal v'chomer that if a Sefer Torah is psula, that it's certainly missing one letter, it's psula. So when the Gemara says chaser yiriya achas, it's lav dafka. So there are three comments that are worth making on this Rashba. Number one, you see from the Rashba that the Gemara nowhere says that a Sefer Torah that's missing one letter is possible. How do you know that? Because the Rashba knew Shas much better than I don't pretend to know Shas. And all the Rashba could use to prove that a Sefer Torah that's missing one letter is no good is based upon a Gemara that talks about tefillin. Number two, one can question whether the Kal v'chomer is a good Kal v'chomer. And you already have enough information. You already have enough information to question whether or not it's a good Kal v'chomer. The assumption of the Rashba is that if something would make a tefillin pasul, it certainly would make a Sefer Torah pasul. But you already know at least one thing, one thing for sure, that makes tefillin pasul that does not make a Sefer Torah pasul, and that is if you wrote it out of order. Now, it's true we say that a Sefer Torah is considered having greater Kedusha, so if you had a Sefer Torah, let's say that wore out, I believe you're not allowed to take, let's say, and you know what, I need a pair of tefillin. A Sefer Torah I don't have, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cut out the parts, the Parshios from Shema, you know, and from Parshios Bo, that we read on Chol HaMoed, and I'll put them into the tefillin, so it's no good. You can, I think Parshios from a mezuzah you can put into tefillin, but parshas and tefillin you can't put in the mezuzah because tefillin have a higher kedusha than mezuzah, and a Sefer Torah has a higher kedusha than tefillin, right? If I'm not mistaken. So that would be where the Rashba is coming from, except for not all the rules of tefillin apply to Sefer Torah. We have stringencies by tefillin that we don't have by Sefer Torah. So maybe this is just another stringency. And if you accept the sort of the logic that I suggested behind why a Torah is not possible when you write it out of order, whereas tefillin are, because you wouldn't be able to have a Sefer Torah that's kosher. Arguably, the same thing could be true about one letter that's mistaken. It's really hard to have a Sefer Torah that's 100% kosher. One of the great stories we tell in our shul I once taught a bar mitzvah kid for Parshas Vayikra, and he was reading the second parak, and it was a new Sefer Torah that the shul had bought in the last few months, and it had been computer checked, and I have a report in my file still. I have a copy of all the mistakes that the computer found. And guess what? When you got to the pasuk of V'im Minchas Mar Cheshes Karbanecha, the Vav of V'im, and that's not a vowel, that's a consonant, it just wasn't there. The sofer missed it. The computer missed it. Wow. I was very proud of my bar mitzvah student. He did properly because he didn't read what he knew was supposed to be there. He read what was in front of him. And he got everybody screamed, which they weren't supposed to, you know, for the Vav. And we stopped things and looked and said, okay, time for a new Sefer Torah. So it's really hard. So I would have argued that, yeah, tefillin one ksav makes it possible because it's viable to demand that from tefillin. It's not viable to demand that from a Sefer Torah. But okay. Now, those are the two things that one could sort of challenge with the on the Rashba's point. Okay, he does quote other interpretations to try to sort of put these two together. He doesn't tell you who he's quoting. He's actually quoting the Ramban. The Ramban says that it's only true in the last page of the Sefer Torah. In other words, on the last Yiriya of the Sefer Torah, there, as long as it's not chaser the entire Yiriya, then Korimbo. I do not understand that. He doesn't understand why. I don't understand the basis of the Ramban Shita either.
Maybe because it wasn't written, it wasn't conveyed.
Well, the Gemara. No. He's not saying just the last eight psukim.
Oh, just saying the last.
No, the last Yiriya. The last eight psukim might have been written by Yeshua, but not the last Yiriya. What you could say, the only logic that I can see behind it is that maybe you argue that is that, in other words, it may not even be that if one letter is invalid in the last Yiriya, but if you haven't finished the Sefer Torah, but you're on the last Yiriya already, so maybe that's already, I don't know. Again, it's still very strange. Yeah, it's difficult. Okay. Anyway, so the Rashba thinks when the Gemara says Yiriya Achas Lav Davkan, and the other difficulty fundamentally with the Rashba is that it's a very, very awkward phrasing, right? You know, if you said that a Sefer Torah Shechasra Teva Achas, it's missing one word, is no good. So I might argue that even one letter in a word is no good because it means the word isn't there. Right? I could see someone formulating it somewhat imprecise in that fashion. Right? Or maybe if you said it's missing one pasuk, but you say chaser yiriya achas, it really sounds like, you know, that's a very strange unit of measurement to pick if it is not precise. Right? If it doesn't mean that anything less than a yiriya is good, why would you say Sefer Torah chaser yiriya achas? Anyway, but that is what the Rashba's position is.
What if the meaning of the word doesn't change? It's missing something, but the meaning of the word remains the same, but it's missing, you know, a yod or something.
So I think
is there a lesser stringency?
Fundamentally speaking, no. However, the Rama does say in Shulchan Aruch, and the Rama should be on the back side of the sheet, or the second, whatever it's one, that even though we take out a new Sefer Torah when there's an error, he says, by chaseros and yeseros, when you have full or what they call, Scott, the grammarians call defective spelling, it's not defective in the negative connotation, but, you know, a word like os, written without the vav, right? The vowel letters written without them, but he says, by chaseros and yeseros, the Ramah says, you don't take out another Sefer Torah, because it's impossible to find the Sefer Torah that's possible in chaseros, that's perfect in chaseros and yeseros. There is a famous Gemara in Kiddushin, where the Gemara in Kiddushin says that, why Ezra HaSofer's title was a sofer. That's what they were called. So the Gemara says, Lama, the Gemara in Kiddushin, I think Daf Lamed Aleph says, Lama Nikru Harishonim Sofrim. Why were they called Sofrim? The Gemara says, because Shahayu Sofrim Kal Osir Shabbat Torah. They used to count the letters in the Torah, and they could identify, you know, the Vav of Gachon that we'll read this coming Shabbos, called Halecha Gachon, anything that crawls on its belly, that Vav, which is big in the Torah, is supposed to be the middle letter of the Torah. So the Gemara asks an interesting question. What does it mean it's the middle letter of the Torah? Is the assumption of the question, is there an even number of letters in the Torah? Is it the first letter of the second half or the last letter of the first half? And the Gemara says, we don't know. So the Gemara says, go count. Right? And they tell another story where they were not sure about something, and they said, bring it, and they brought a Sefer Torah and they counted. So the Gemara says, Anan lo biki ba chaseros v'yaseros. We are not expert in chaser seseres. And most, the way that's, you can give an apologetic understanding of that, as some will, but the simple reading of the Gemara and what many Rishonim and Acharonim assume is that our textual tradition has potentially many errors in these types of things, in chaseres and yeseres. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, the Vav of Gachon, if you actually would pull out our Sifrei Torah, take a, you know, you could take a Bar Ilan and or something and do a count of the letters, is apparently significantly off from where the middle letter of the Torah is in our texts. So the Ramos says, because we're not Bekim a Chaseris and Yiseris, if the error you find in the Sefer Torah is only in Chaseris and Yiseris, you don't take out another one. But that doesn't speak to the fundamental question: is the Sefer Torah no good or is it good? Since it's a minor error, it's just a question of you're not going to do better taking out another Sefer Torah, right? And if you're going to worry about Chaseres and Yeseres, we're not going to bother with Kriyas HaTorah. The Meiri, Rav Menachem Meiri, the famous Provençal Rishon, has, it's printed, is there a Meiri here even? It's printed in the sets that they print, wrote a work on Hilchos Stam, Sefer Torah, Tefillah, Mitzvos, so called the Kiryas Sefer. So the Meiri in the Kiryas Sefer says that, he says that Chaseres Nyeseros, if there are multiple valid traditions, if you can find different Sefer Torah, you know, where some are written one way and some are another, then an error in a Chaser, in fact, he would say maybe anything, maybe not just Chaseres Nyeseros, does not make a Sefer Torah possible. That's not, in other words, as long as the valid tradition doesn't make it possible. But that, I don't think, is limited to Chaseres Yeseres. That's true generally. There is a Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch claims that if the error is in Chaseres and Yeseres, and it doesn't affect the halacha. Sometimes the Gemara has an interpretation, an exegetical, drasha based upon the spelling of a word, where they learn a halacha from it. So the Minchas Chinuch says if it's one of those, then an error makes it possible. Otherwise, he says, Chaseres and Yeseres do not invalidate a Sefer Torah. It's a difficult shita, but there is. It's on the last mitzvah in the Chinuch, the 613th mitzvah. So that's where the Minchas Chinuch suggests such a claim. Part of what they're struggling over is, you're going to say that all our Sefer Torah are psulim, right? Because we're not Bekiyas. So if you say that, some types of Chaser Yiseres, they don't really vow the Sefer Torah, so then you're okay. The exact inverse is what the Shagas Arya uses to... how many of you own a Sefer Torah? Okay. For the rest of us who don't own a Sefer Torah and haven't been Mekai in the midst of writing Sefer Torah, what's our excuse? So you'll say, we buy Sfarim, right? The Shulchan Aruch mentions that one of the ways of, it's not, you can't really be Mekai in Ksiva Sefer Torah this way, but we buy Sfarim, because the purpose of the midst of writing Sefer Torah is to learn from it. So we buy Sfarim, and that does the same thing. Okay, it's very nice, but that's more like for a rabbi's sermon to make people feel good. That doesn't really sound halachically substantive. The Shagas Arya writes, the reason we don't write Sefer Torah, except for the ones we need to read from in shul, is because you can't be Mekai in the mitzvah anyway, because since we're not experts, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to ruin your Sefer Torah there, since our Sefer Torah inevitably are going to have errors, because we don't have a strong enough tradition on the spellings of words, therefore, really by right, the Sefer Torah is possible. So we write them so we can read from in shul, but outside that, you're not Mekai in the mitzvah, because you have a Sefer Torah, if it's possible. Okay, so anyway, but fundamentally speaking, the simple interpretation is that even Chaseres and Yeseres should invalidate the Sefer Torah.
My computer check here as well.
Okay, but you should have a human check it too. Right, find someone who wants to read out of it, you know, through a cycle. Okay, the last source that I wanted to just talk about, who maybe articulates things and starts to maybe bring the problem to a head, but to a solution also, is the Rambam. The Rambam, which is the last source on the Roman numeral 1, the Rambam writes, V'chol ha'dvarim ha'elu, he has until now outlined a series of things of the way that you're supposed to write a Sefer Torah. He says, all these things are the mitzvah min ha'mufkar. That's to be, you know, a hider mitzvah, to be the nicest kind of Sefer Torah. But, avim shina lo pasal, but if you made an error, the Sefer Torah is still valid. Aval, in kosav ha'mole chaser, o ha'chaser mole, if you write something which is supposed to be spelled plene, mole, full, with the vav, with the yud, and you write it without it, or hachaser mole, you write something that's supposed to be written defective, without the vav, the yud, whatever else, as mole, you write it plene. So, o shekosav mila shikri, v'kosav kikriyasa, you have a krei uksiv, a word that's written one way in the Sefer Torah, but read differently, and I have to always ask my question, what's the most common krei uksiv in the Torah, in Tanakh? I don't. What's that? It's God's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, at the Shem Havaya, right? It is written one way, we pronounce it a different way. So if you write it the way it's pronounced, the Rambam says all of these things, you write a parsha psucha stuma, you leave the wrong amount of space at a break. O stuma psucha, or you wrote a shira that's supposed to be rewritten, you know, in columns, and you wrote it like regular, straight, continuous lines, etc., etc. He says on the last full line, Harez epasul, ve'ein bo kedusha sefer Torah klal, ela kechumash menachumashim shemalam nebar tinokos. He said the sefer Torah is completely invalid. Now, so basically, up until this point, I've been studiously avoiding Sam's question, which is, for what purposes? And that's a very important question. But right now, as we've shown in formula here, nobody draws a distinction. The Sefer Torah is good, it's no good. It's kosher, it's pasul. Can you read it? Can you not read it? It's all the same. But here's where the problem begins. The Rambam was asked the following question. I am not going to read the entire tshuva. I'm just going to read the question and then maybe highlight one line. The Rambam writes, She'ela, al dvar kriyas ha-Torah b'chol yom, im ein lahem sefer Torah. They don't have a sefer Torah in this community. Mahu she'yikru b'chumashim, can they read out of a chumash? And again, not our chumashim, but the Rambam was before the printing press, but their chumashim. V'yivarchu l'faneha u'la'achareha, and they should make brachos before and after. Oh, is it better yimnu laha kriya kol ikar? Better that they just not read kriyas ha-Torah, because they don't have a sefer Torah. V'chein b'sefer Torah she'ne osu kilchasam. O sifrei Torah shel klav she'ena me'ubadim lishman. If you have a sefer Torah that wasn't written properly, or the klav that was used for the sefer Torah was not tanned l'shem mitzvah sefer Torah, that's a whole discussion, a whole big machlokas are rishonim. But the Rambam says she'en vaday psulim. These are there's a sefer Torah that's for sure pasul. Im muto levarich hakori b'hayim im asu levarich yore rabbeinu. May our master teach us. So the Rambam says. The Rambam says in his answer, that that you can read out of a Sefer Torah that's Apostle. You can read out of a Chumash. In fact, one of his rais, you can read out of a Chumash. And the Rambam would assume a Chumash is Apostle. Right? That's the way, how did the Rambam describe a Sefer Torah that's Apostle? Harehu ke Chumash mena Chumashim. That's how he described the Mishnah Torah. So Chumash is a Sefer Torah Apostle. It's mamish, it doesn't have kedusha sefer Torah. The Rambam says, why are you not allowed to read out of a chumash in the tzibur? The Gemara says, because of kavarat tzibur. That's the reason why. It's not kavarat tzibur to read out of a chumash. You're supposed to read out of a sefer Torah. But the Rambam says, okay, and what if you don't have a sefer Torah? So if the only issue is kavarat tzibur, and you have no other choice, really no other choice, or you're going to be mevatel the mitzvah, so the Rambam says, then you read out of a chumash in the tzibur. And you make brachas to everything else. And the Rambam goes so far as to say, he says, firstly, this was the minhag. If you go down to three lines from the bottom of the page, he says, Valduk yazo, on this inference that he just drew about chumash, that you only can't read from a chumash the Kriyas HaTorah and the Tzibur because of Kavod HaTzibur, Valduk yazo, samchu anshei hamarav, the people of the west, of Svartic lands, v'hayu korin b'sifrei Torah shel klaf below ibud klal, they would read out a sifrei Torah that weren't even, the hides weren't even tanned. U'mevarchen lefaneh alachareha, b'fnei ga'onei olam, kegon Rabbeinu Yosef Alevi Zatzal, v'Rabbeinu Yitzhak Alfa Zatzal. Before the Rimi Gash, who was the Rif's Talmud Muvak, he was the Rambam's father's Rebbe, and the Rif, who were like the ga'onei olam of Svara, they were the most, they are like the names in early Spanish Jewry. So people, they used to read regularly in Sefer Torah in front of these gedolim. And the Rambam says, V'chayotze b'hem u'me'olam o'nishpa b'zeh potze peh mitzavte. If nobody opened their mouth to make a peep and say, this isn't right. L'fisha kulam balei bina hayu, they were all geniuses. V'chachmasa miyushavas ha'mechuvenes, and their intellect was straight and settled. V'yadu she'en habracha tluye b'sefer im kasher hu e'um pasol. Bracha does not depend upon the sefer. Ela b'kriya atzma. Bein shayakori b'sefer kasher opasol kamosha bayarnu. And the Rambam, if I'm not mistaken, even says earlier that you could read ba'al peh and make brachos. Now, you better have one ba'al kriya there who is pretty confident in his stuff. Right? Today we would say it's the equivalent. You pull a chumash off the shelf. That's what the Rambam says. The Aval Pikein, the Rambam says, Roy lechot tzibur, lio slohem, sefer kasher kelchosav, u bo roy likros lechatchila bet tzibur. So the Rambam says, L'chatchila, you should have a proper Sefer Torah. That's the right way of doing things. But, v'im i'efsher lahem, koran afilu b'pasul n'mavarchim, minatam sh'amarnu, v'chein hor Rabbeinu Chanoch ha'svardi datzal, signed Moshe ben Rav Maimon zatzal. So the Rambam says, Sefer Torah pasul, no problem. No Sefer Torah, no problem. You read, you make brachas, move on. So the question is,
what is the source?
Well, better said, the Rambam said that a Sefer Torah that's missing one letter is possible. Now, the truth is, at this point, I look at this and I say, it's not really a question. But the Rishonim thought this was a contradiction. And I've taken out a small snippet from the Beis Yosef here. The issue, by the way, for those who are interested in exploring, is discussed in two places in Shulchan Aruch. It's discussed in Orach Chaim, in what is the second chelek of Mishneh Brura, where you have Hilchos Kriya Satorah. It's part of the Seder Ayom. First part of Orach Chaim is wake up in the morning, tzitzis tefillin, brachos, kriyashma, tefila, then the tachanun, right? Then Ashrei Uvalitzion, and so on, and then you have Hilchos Kriya Satorah. So that's one place where the Shulchan Aruch talks about it, and the Beis Yosef has discussion. The other place is in Yoredeah, where you have Hilchos Sefer Torah, where you have Tefillin, where you have Mezuzah. Tefillin is not there, only Mezuzah, Exivas Mezuzah, and Exivas Sefer Torah. There the focus is on the writing of a Sefer Torah as opposed to the issue of Kriya Satorah. So these are the two places where you find the issues mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch, and it's discussed by the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch. So here I take in the Beis Yosef from Orach Chaim, the Kosuv B'tshuvas HaRashba, Shenishal Al Sefer Torah Sheinu Aso Kilchaso, O Sheyesh Bo Echa Min HaDvarim HaPoslim, Im Mutar Levarich Bo O Aser. So the Rashba, right? The Rashba is 13th century Barcelona. Really, he was the head of that community. He was really the recognized authority in that generation. So the Rashba was asked, because of Ashoel, the questioner wrote to the Rashba, Shematzat Shuvah LaHarambam Shehiter Likros LeVarich HaSefer Torah Pasul Im Yef Shal Islam Sefer Torah Kasha. Now, the Rashba himself says he didn't have the tshuva of the Rambam. He never saw it. But Rashba tam al tshuva zo, v'sasa rayosav. And the Rashba undermined the rayos. Again, I don't know which rayos, because I think somewhere he says he never saw, the tshuva of the Rambam. I could be wrong on that. Maybe I'm mixing things up. But then he says, Vehela, and the Rashba concluded, Shebiyalduso Kasakach. The Rambam wrote the Tshuva when he was younger, Viachar Kach Chazarbo, but then he retracted, changed his mind. Vekasa Bilcho Sefer Torah, Perak Yud, Nimtsa Slamet Shesun Dvarim Hem Shekalachar Mehem Posel Sefer Torah, Vinase Bo Echar Mehem Arehu Kachumash Shemalam Nebo Atinokos Vemba Kedusha Sefer Torah, Vein Karim Bo Barabim. Right? So that's what the Rambam, that's what he quotes the Rambam as saying. Now, there are a couple of problems here with the Rashba's approach to the Rambam. If you want to argue on the Rambam, it's fine. But there are at least two obvious problems. It's hard to argue the Rambam retracted. Why? Because the Rambam did come up with this Chiddush on his own. The Rambam said this was the Minhag HaOlam before. The Rambam says somewhere that the Rimi Gash was his father's Rebbe. I don't think he ever saw the Rimi Gash. The Rambam says he disagrees with the Rimi Gash in two places. Right, the Rif, he says somewhere, he rarely differs with the Rif. You know, probably they say that 30 places the Rambam disagrees with the Rif. If this was the Minhag HaOlam and this was done in front of the Rimi Gash and the Rif, it's almost inconceivable. The Rambam would have said that this Minhag HaOlam was totally invalid. And again, it's not a Minhag HaOlam that's against the Gemara explicitly. It's a Minhag HaOlam which is a good svara for. Number two, if you actually look at the Rashba's citation of the Rambam in Mishneh Torah, that's not what the Rambam says. The Rashba says, if you look at the quotation, "Harehu kechumish shemalam nematinokos fei mekedusha sefer Torah." That the Rambam says. The ein karim bo berabim. At least in my edition, it doesn't say that. Unless I cut off the halacha early, the Rambam just says "vein bo kedusha sefer Torah ala kechumish chamash shemalam nematinokos." Doesn't say "vein karim bo berabim." Doesn't say "vein karim bo berabim." So in other words, the Rashba wants to say, the Rashba is assuming that these two positions are inherently contradictory, and obviously the Rambam changed his mind.
But
it may not be. We have to explain why they're not contradictory. I think everybody sees where this is going anyway. It should be obvious to the Rambam. But if the Rambam had said in the Mishneh Torah, in Korim Bo Barabim, that would be a contradiction.
Mm-hmm.
That would be an explicit contradiction. But he doesn't say that. He just says the Sefer Torah is possible. It has no Kedusha Sefer Torah. So the Rashba says that basically, no deal. You cannot make brachos. He says, halacha v'maisa, that we don't do such a thing. Okay. Now, what, of course, is the answer? Oh, so I see where it's the other tshuva of the Rashba. He says, tshuva ani lora isi tshuva saramam zavama minishav amahishav. Right? So he's only replying what the questioner transmitted. And the questioner transmitted faithfully, but he may not, it's possible he didn't see that the Rambam said, they did this in front of the, I mean, if the Rashba had believed the Rambam, and he had seen the Rambam say that they did this in front of the Rifri Migash, I can't believe the Rashba would have argued with the Rambam. Okay. Anyway, so the question is, what is, Sam, the resolution to the contradiction of the Rambam that the Rashba saw? Since you realized it early on, how would you resolve the two?
You mentioned it about the laws of writing a Sefer Torah versus
the mitzvah ksiva Sefer Torah. Ben, they spoke about the Shagas Ari. Mitzvah ksiva Sefer Torah is one thing. You want to fulfill the mitzvah. You were all supposed to write one sefer. A melech supposed to write two sefarim. To fulfill the mitzvah properly, you have to write a perfect Sefer Torah. Kriyas HaTorah? That's it in Talmud Torah Barabim. So you don't have a Sefer Torah Kasha, you read from a Pasul. You don't have a Sefer Torah Pasul, you read from a Sefer Chumash. You don't have a Chumash, you read Baal Peh. You read out of a printed Sefer. And you make brachos, because the mitzvah Kriyas HaTorah is not related to Ksiva Sefer Torah. Ideally, yeah, it's proper to have a properly written Sefer Torah and to read out of that. That would be the resolution. And that I find it amazing that the first person I didn't present it here, but that I saw, who says this, I mean, I didn't come up with, I knew this answer begin, wasn't my Chiddush, was the Maribe Rav, who was the first person to have the new smicha. He was the Mechaber's Rebbe. He was Rabbi Yosef Kara's Rebbe. He quotes, I believe it's the Maribe Rav, somewhere either here or in Yoredeh in the Beis Yosef, who says, no, there's no contradiction in the Rambam. There's a difference between writing the Sefer Torah and reading it in the mitzvah Kriya Sefer Torah, which seems to be obvious. Now, I will tell you that straight as accepting the Rambam straight out, even though the position would seem to be compelling in so many ways, meaning all the Gedolei Svarad, the early Gedolei Svarad, held like this Rambam's position, and for the Baalei HaTosos, remember, a Sefer Torah is only possible in the first place if it's missing a Yiriyah Achas. So both the early Gedolei Ashkenaz and Sfarad all held it wouldn't be a problem. In Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, I think it probably is on, I don't know if I put it here. Yeah, it's if you turn go to the bottom now, the bottom of this page. And the Ramah writes, the third to last line, not the last two and a half lines, the Ramah writes, Uvishas hadchak, she'ein letzibur rak sefer Torah posel, ve'ein sham mi sheyuchol lesakno. We have a sefer Torah that's posel, and nobody here can fix it. Yesh omrim, the yesh likros bo betzibur or levarech alav. Some say that you can read, and read from make brachos, ve'yesh poslin. And then the Rambam says, "Im chumash echad shalem bilotos yesh lahakel likros ba'osa chumash afal pishesh tos ba'cherim." Right. So if you have a complete chumash within the Sefer Torah, that chumash the Rambam says you can read from. The logic being, the only reason you can't read from a chumash is because of kavanat tzibur. So here, okay, no, not that you don't have a choice. You do it that way. The Achronim seem to be note there to saying that you don't make brachas on a pasul Sefer Torah. I don't think that that's the minhag actually. I don't think that's the minhag. Both in terms of what I remember from my youth, at least in one shul that I lay in for a long time, and which didn't have multiple Sefer Torah, and if there was a psul, we just kept going. We didn't say, don't make brachas on the remaining aliyahs. And from something that we're going to see in the next part of the shir is, what do you do when you find a toast in a Sefer Torah? You read the Mishnah Berurah, it really makes it sound like, no, you don't make brachos, but I don't think that that's the minhag olam. But if there's a question, ask your local Orthodox rabbi what the minhag of that tzibur is. But that is my impression. My impression is that we follow, at least, I don't think we would read, when I've been asked the question in camp, when they go on hiking trips, when Mahal goes on hiking trips and they can't take a Sefer Torah for some reason, what should they do? And I have not advised them. I may have suggested that maybe they want to read Vayechal, but you don't make brachas. You're going to read out of a Chumash. That far we don't go, but at least out of a Sefer Torah that's Pasul, I think the minhag is that if we don't have an option to use a Sefer Torah that's Kosher, then we use a Sefer Torah that's Pasul, and we do a regular Kriyas HaTorah with brachas. That's my impression. Okay.
Before you leave the Rambam, the Rambam, there was a big question about, you know, he looked at the Aleppo Codex.
Yes.
And, you know, there was a question on the columns and the amount of words.
67 lines in Hazinu as opposed to 7 in the Arsefer Torah.
So there was a question, according to Kasuto, you know, all the Sefer Torahs in the world are puzzle and so forth. So could you touch on that for a minute?
No, and that, according to the Rambam, First thing, I don't think that the issue, this was the story. Umberto Cossuto, who was originally the chief rabbi of Italy and then became the founder of the Bible Department at Hebrew University at its founding. So he was given permission by the Syrian community to look at the Aleppo Codex. And he came back and said, this is not the Sefer of Ben Arshad of the Rambam spoke about. Why? He had a couple of rayas. One of them was that there are 67 lines in the Shira of Aleppo. We still possess it. Most of the Torah is missing. It probably wasn't destroyed. There are probably Syrians walking around in Brooklyn, Israel, who have pieces of the Aleppo Codex. But we, bottom line is, we only have it from the end of Kisavo on, and we are missing parts. We have the Shir of Hazinu, but he saw the complete thing. And he said, there are 67 lines in the Shir of Hazinu, and the Rambam, the Mishneh Torah, says that the Shir of Hazinu, he's based upon whatever the Sefer of Ben Asher is, Aaron Ben Asher, and the Rambam says has 70 lines. So Kasuta said, you see, it's not the original, it's not the Sefer the Rambam was referring to. Of course, here once again, tripped up by the printers, if you go back to the Huntington 80 manuscript of the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, it's a manuscript that wasn't written by the Rambam. It contains the first two Svarim, Sefer Amada and Sefer Ava, which contains Hilchos, Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah. So the Rambam didn't write it, but he corrected it. He was Magiyat, which means it's more or less the equivalent as if the Rambam wrote these two books of Mishneh Torah. We have those copies. And it says in there, 67 lines in the Shira. The printers, who in their Sefer Torah, those people who first printed the Rambam, who in their Sefer Torah all had 70 lines, decided that this must be a mistake in the Rambam, it must be 70. Okay, so in fact, it turns out, it's pretty clear, the Aleppo Codex is in fact the Sefer, or certainly there's no reason to think it's not the Sefer that the Rambam was talking about when he wrote his stuff. So that's your issue. But that is, that I don't think the Rambam would say that if you wrote the Shiras Hazinu with 70 lines, it would be possible. If you wrote the Shiras Hazinu as prose, you know, straight right, without that columns, that would be possible.
Why? Because that's a local motion.
That's what he assumes, that Tzura Sashira, and the reason that Tzura to the Shira, if you look at Az Yashir, Hazinu is two columns with a big break in the middle, whereas most of the Shiras are like Ariyaha Gabe Levain is the expression. You have, you know, on the sides, then you have in the middle, on the sides, in the middle, and so on. Okay, so now the question is, great, so we have a discussion, Sefer Torah Kosher, Pasul, you know, what do you do when you find the Sefer Torah that's Pasul? Now, as you can imagine, if you adopted the Rashba's position, it's obvious that you can't read further, you can't make brachos on it, because you couldn't do that in the first place under any circumstances. So the question is, but if you hold like the Rambam, in pure sense, the answer might be, don't do anything. Don't be Matriach Letzibur. Finish the Kriya and the Sefer Torah you're going to read. And then, you know, after Shabbos, you'll fix it. No, what's the big deal? Now, the positions of the Rishonim, nobody really goes as far as the Rambam, goes in the direction of the Rambam, right? If you only have one Sefer Torah, then you might follow the position of the Rambam. But for everybody else, everybody works within the orbit of the assumption is that you're really not supposed to read from a Sefer Torah that's possible. And if you have a Kasher, you somehow have to bring that into the mix. But the question is, how does it affect, what do you do when you find it, and what impact does it have upon the Kriyas HaTorah that you read already? So if you take a look at the first source on the Roman numeral 3, the Tshuva, the Rush says, V'al Sefer Torah shenim sebo ta'os, da, ki kevon shepasol hu, since the Sefer Torah is pasol, ha'kriya shekaru lav klum hu, everything that you've read is invalid. Nimsa shegam ha'bracha sheberchu, ein ha'bracha. Any brachas that were made were not valid brachos. V'ha'korei b'ksheira, tzarech l'vorech ha'kriyasa. When you read now from the Sefer Torah k'sheira, you have to make a bracha again. Ki nitakna bracha l'kriyazo shemotziyim bo haradim. Aval pi she'ha'korei b'erech ha'latorof ne parashas ha'kabanos, chozim v'rech ha'kriyasa. That's a separate issue. Now, and what emerges, I don't know why, I thought I wanted to, the Rush doesn't spell it out, but the Rashba, I think, does, and it's assumed in the Rush as well. Hakriya shekaru lav klumhu. You know what that means? You take out a Sefer Torah Kasher, and you start from the beginning. So you could have gotten to Shvi in Parshas Matos Mase, and you find the error to three psukim from the end, and and it's Groundhog Day. We go back to the beginning. Okay. Now, that shita obviously assumes that almost certainly assumes a Sefer Torah, even Osachas is Chasera, is totally invalid. Right? If you held like Tosfos, it's inconceivable that you would say that the Kriya is invalid. If the Sefer Torah is kosher, then the Kriya is not going to be invalid. Okay. Now, that's position number one. Now, really, fundamentally speaking, I would say three positions, and the Rama makes a compromise. But position number one says, it's not a complicated position to know if you paskin like this. Start over. Stop what you're doing, exactly what you're doing. Don't do anything. Roll the Sefer Torah, put it away, take out your Sefer Torah, and start V'yazar V'yah again. Done. The Beis Yosef says, Umihu Mori Harav Hagadol Mari Beirav Zecher Zechrono L'chayel M'haba Hinhig Hecha Denimtza Ta'us B'Sefer Torah B'Shas HaKriya. If you find an error in the middle of the Kriya, Lahotzi Sefer Torah Acher U'Lahascher Mimakom Shenak Denimtza Ta'us, you pick up literally wherever the other person was read, where the error was found. U'Lahashlim HaKorim Alosim Shekara B'Mute. And now this is a case where you find it after the Aliyah. Somebody thought they saw something, they finished the Aliyah. This will happen, I can tell you, it's about Kriya. You're reading, you weren't sure you saw something, you might have paused for a moment, you went on, and then when the person finishes the Aliyah, you go back, let's take a look at that. Right. So in this case, you just finish up the Kriya, you have two more Aliyahs, you read two more Aliyahs. If you're finished, you're finished. And then he says, "V'imnimsa hata'us be'emtsa kriya." If it's in the middle of an aliyah, "Hakorei gomer kriyaso b'sefer hakosher umvarech lachareha ve'nochozel levarech lefaneha." You don't stop. In other words, you stop right there. You take out the Sefer Torah. You finish the aliyah, and then you make a bracha afterwards. You don't make a bracha on having finished reading the Sefer Torah and then make a new bracha before. It's more surprising that you don't make a new bracha before. That's what bothers a lot of other Rishonim, which is, how do you read from a Sefer Torah before you've made a bracha on it? So not making the bracha after what you just finished reading from the Sefer Torah Apostle, that's easier to understand. But he just says, you just start. You don't make a bracha now. Ki bracha shabirch lefaneh b'Sefer Torah Apostle v'chein kriya shakaru also lahem b'di'evet. In other words, the bracha and the reading that you did out of the first one, that works b'di'evet, v'chein anu no'agim achara. That's what the Beis Yosef says, and that is his position in the Shulchan Aruch. If you skip down for just a moment to the last source, but the Mechaber now, im nimtza taos b'sefer Torah b'shas kriya, motzien sefer Torah acheres, umaschilin mimakom shenimtza taos, umashlimin akor al osam shakaru b'muta. That's if you find at the end of an aliyah. V'im nimtza taos b'emtza kriya sakari, in the middle of an aliyah, gomer kriyasa b'sefer akasher, mevarech lachara, v'inu chosel. And that's what I believe that you did in Parshas Chodesh. So if, in fact, the Minog of KJ is, in fact, to follow the Mechaber, I don't know that it is, then that would, in fact, be the proper procedure. There is, however, a third position. The third position is a fundamental position, is that of the Mordechai, and it seems a number of other Rishonim and Ashkenaz. And he says as follows. Umino. Yesh lumot. This is the Mordechai Meseches Megillah. The Sefer Torah, the Chaserim ba'osio sotevo so pasuk, the ein lahafsek lakore lahavi Sefer Torah cheres, en lakore oso ba'al peh, kevan de lo efsher shetchilas hadavar lo hayadato likros ba'al peh. V'tu yesh lachosh lahavi Sefer Torah cheres, you don't want to bring another Sefer Torah, whatever the reasons are. Now, he says, so basically Mordechai says, you have an error, keep reading. But skip to the next paragraph. V'ha the paskin and the lechatchila kore al peh psukim achaserim. The only time you read ba'al peh that which is missing is hani mili im lo kara adayin gimel psukim. If you haven't read three psukim yet, why? Because once you've read three psukim, you know what you can do. You can make an aliyah and the aliyah there. And what could you do? You make a bracha there. Finish that up. Take out a new Sefer Torah and make a new bracha on that and start the next aliyah. Now, there are times that you can't do that. For starters, as he already acknowledges, if you haven't read three psukim, you can't stop. And there are other restrictions as well. He says, Oshehu revi b'rosh chodesh b'cholo shomoed, shetzorech ligmar ha-parsha, and it really should be ve'en mosifin aleha. Or, if it's a day that you're not allowed to, you're in the last aliyah, on a day that you're not allowed to add aliyahs on, right? Monday and Thursday, you're not allowed to add a fourth aliyah. On Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh, you're not allowed to add a fifth aliyah. Theoretically, on Yom Tov and Yom Kippur and Shabbos, you can add extra aliyahs. So there, on Yom Tov, on Shabbos, you could just stop where you are if it's a stopping point. Finish the aliyah, even if it's in Shvi. And you make an achron, that's all. But if it's a day that you can't make an achron, and you're in the last aliyah already, then you just read till the end, the Mordechai says. And if you have to read Baal Peh, you read Baal Peh. Oh, there's another case you can't stop. Shehachi sarun b'samach l'parsha sheni, l'parsha shnei psukim, dey m'shayim r'parsha pachas m'yigam u'psukim. One of the rules of where you make aliyah breaks, I probably mentioned this here before when I gave a shiur about this, we don't know where the aliyah breaks come from. I've asked and asked and asked, and nobody can tell me, none of the experts can tell me where the aliyah breaks come from. Almost every other feature of the biblical text, we can either identify historically or at least by tradition where they originate from. Right, and one including one thing which is a non-Jewish innovation, which are the chapter breaks. The only thing nobody can tell me when they come from are the Aliyah divisions, which is actually astounding because if you look today in various chumashim and printings, you almost find no variations between the Aliyah breaks. I know of like two or three in the entire Torah where the Aliyah breaks may differ in different chumashim. You know, it's in the same two or three ones. So it is incredibly uniform, and how it got to be that way, I have no idea, because then we know they were invented somewhere. I say invented. Obviously, Aliyah breaks weren't invented. They always broke Aliyahs. They made seven Aliyahs. But the fixed place where you break the Aliyos is an innovation of the second half of the second millennium. Somewhere between the year 1600 and the year, you know, 1900, somebody set down the Aliyah breaks that really took root, that were almost ubiquitous. But al-pi-din, al-pi-ha-halacha, you don't have to really follow those Aliyah breaks. There are rules that the Gemara has where you can and cannot break an Aliyah. And there's a fairly limited number of rules. We have other things we try to avoid, but like we try to avoid bad things or sad things or something like that. The Gemara only says that al-pi-din, you're not allowed to break up in the middle of the tochacha, the curses in the chukosai, and the Gemara says it doesn't even apply in the kisavo, even though we don't. We don't break up in either. The Gemara has more fixed rules that you can't stop unless you're at a parsha break in the Torah. You cannot stop if you are within two psukim of a parsha break. In other words, you either have to be three or more psukim away from a break or at a break. Right? If you're at a break, it doesn't matter that a pasuk later there's another break. But that's what the Mordechai means here. He says that if you find the error b'samach l'parsha shnei psukim, the ein mishayim b'parsha pachas migam psukim, you can't start or end within less than three psukim of a parsha break, unless you're at the parsha break. So let's say you find yourself in such a place, and there are only two psukim from here till the parsha break, then you got to read on. You can't stop there. Kidar midan l'kam perek gimel davi dumya the kohen gadol the mutov alav likros akol avom kfar kara gimel psukim. If you've already read three psukim, v'rahok min a parsha, and you're not next to a parsha break, you know, within one or two psukim, she'ef shelo l'sayim u'levarech, then yivarech asher nasa lanu, you make the bracha afterwards in it, v'yigmar v'yaviu sefer Torah acheres v'yikra acher ve'inkan bracha levatala ve'inkan mishum peguma. I don't want to talk about what that line means. He explained it earlier. So the Mordechai basically says the following. You can't do what the Mechaber says, because you can't read from a Sefer Torah without a bracha before it. So instead what you do basically is, you end when you find an error, if you can, you end the Aliyah right there. If you can't, you finish to the point that you can. Which means, on a day where you can add on an extra Aliyah, then you can read till a stopping point, and then if you need to, even if you're in the last Aliyah, you add on an extra Aliyah. If you're within two psukim of a parsha break, you read on so that you're not within two psukim of a parsha break. Once you get to a point that you can stop, and assuming that you can stop and you won't mess up the number of Aliyahs, you're not Aliyah limited that day, you stop, you make a bracha, which came before, and then you make a bracha on the new Sefer Torah, and you go to the end. Okay,
according to the Posek, who says that you go back all the way to the beginning.
Yes,
right. So, isn't there an Indian of a Cheskas Kashrus? In other words, that everything you read up until that point was fine?
No, that would only be the case if you have a letter. You know, that maybe if you had a letter that was cracked, you know. And you could say that in between the time we read there and we rolled it over, it cracked. Then you could make such an argument. But if you know, it's sort of like they talk at the famous Rush in Chum, the first parak, who talks about cheese made from milk that was milk from a cow that later they shech turns out to be a treifa. So the question is, when did it become a treifa? Because the milk from a treifa cow, you're not allowed to consume. So there's a chazaka, the animal was a kosher until you know it became a treifa. So you could say that if you find an adhesion on the lung, you could say that the adhesion only developed in the last day. But if it turns out that the treifa seifa of the cow was that it only has three legs. It's kind of hard to imagine that, you know, it had four legs, you know, and I don't mean three legs. You see one was cut off, and as it only has naturally three legs, you know that when you milk the cow, that it only had three legs, and it was a treifa. It's kind of hard to miss in the first place, but that's a separate issue. Okay, so then the third position, basically the Mordechai's position is, you cannot read from a Sefer Torah if you don't make a bracha on it. And therefore, if you can stop, or you can get to a stopping point, then that's what you do, and then make a bracha afterwards. The only situation where you don't stop, even though you're at a stopping point, is if you're in the last aliyah of something where you can't add on an aliyah. Or, although this is not going to help you here, you're in the middle of Parshas HaChodesh, where you can't split it up, and so on. So, in that case, what would the Mordechai say that you would do in Parshas HaChodesh? You're in the middle. You can't add on, really, an aliyah at that point. You already said the Kaddish. So what would you do according to the Mordechai? No. You just read till the end, make the bracha, and you're done. That's what the Mordechai would say. Yeah. So the question is, how does the Ramah paskin? The Ramah writes, so these are three positions, basically, three practical positions. Start everything over, stop, don't do anything other than put it away, start everything over, do your seven aliyahs again from the new Sefer Torah. Position two is that wherever you are, stop, take out a new Sefer Torah, continue. Right? And if you're in an aliyah break, obviously, same thing is true. I mean, if you finished, you're finished. If not, you do the rest of the kriya, the remaining aliyahs out of the new Sefer Torah. Position number three is that you can't do that because you cannot read from a Sefer Torah and not make a bracha on it. So that position, the Mordechai holds, if you can stop, stop where you are. If you can't, get to a stopping place, right? Unless you're in the last aliyah where you can't add on. So in any of those cases, in other words, in a case where you're not allowed to add on an aliyah, the first stopping place is the end of that aliyah that you're reading. So you go to the point that you're able to stop, you make a bracha after the kriya on the previous Sefer Torah, and then if you have anything more to read, you take out a new Sefer Torah. If you don't, you're done. That's the way it is. The Ramah writes, V'im kvar, so the Ramah doesn't argue on the Mechaber straight out. He takes a modified position. He accepts the Mechaber's position, but he says, V'im kvar karu imo gibel psukim, v'ef shel hafsek, then poskin sham, u'mevarech acharehu, mashlimin haminya b'sefer Torah achar shemotzin. Now, what is the Ramah's position? Well, it's a hybrid. He's basically saying the following. If you're at a place that you are unable to stop, then you follow the Mechaber's position. You just take out a new Sefer Torah and just continue reading. If you are in a place that you can stop, and it's not a problem adding an aliyos either, then you take out, then you finish, you make a bracha on this Sefer, take out a new Sefer Torah, make a bracha on that. Now, the truth is, the Ramah's position is an odd position. Right? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. If you're concerned that you can't make a bracha, you can't read from a Sefer Torah without making a bracha, then you can't accept the Mechaber's position at all. Right? Then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're not at a stopping point. You should have to get to a stopping point, make a bracha lachareha, and if you're going to take out the Sefer Torah, make a bracha for now. But this is the compromise that the Ramah offers. Now, in which case, so again, the Ramah would say, in the case of Achodesh, what should you do? Exactly what you did. The Mechaber and the Ramah both say that way. However, the Achronim seem to have a very strong consensus, and there might be Minhagim that are different, but both the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan says, we paskin like the Mordechai. You know, so we don't accept the idea that you can read from a Sefer Torah and not make a bracha for now. And according to that position, what is supposed to happen is you're basically supposed to finish the Kriyas HaTorah in the Parshas HaChodesh, and you make the bracha afterwards, and you don't take out a new Sefer Torah. You don't take out a new Sefer Torah and read from without a bracha before. So they claim that actually is what the Minhag is. I've asked Rosh Hashanah about this, and he said, yeah, he thinks that's what one is supposed to do. It may be that there are communities that actually don't have that as the practice. My recollection from childhood, and I don't want to, and I haven't asked, I don't even know the minhag in our shul. And our shul, at least our, I have two shuls, but the shul that I'm davening in Moshe Basos, so I'm not even sure what the minhag is there. I should actually ask the rabbi what he tells him to. I suspect that there are a lot of places that follow the position of the Ramah. I suspect that that's the case, but at least my received tradition, if I were starting a shul from scratch and I were establishing the minhag, so I would follow the position of the Mordechai and do that. But as I said, I think that there are, I have a suspicion, I wouldn't, despite the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan's claim, if that's the minhag, I wonder whether actually that is the minhag or whether the Ramah says in practice is the minhag. But bottom line is, bottom line in review, there are really two separate issues here. Number one, what makes a Sefer Torah puzzle? And that's a machlokas, certainly a machlokas harishonim between Tosfos and the Rambam. Tosfos says you need Yiriyah Achas to make the Sefer Torah puzzle, otherwise you're just supposed to correct it. The Rambam and many say that even one letter wrong in the Sefer Torah makes the entire thing puzzle. But then, the next question you have to move to from there is that might only be the mitzvah Ksiva Sefer Torah, but it could be the mitzvah Kriya Sefer Torah doesn't require a Sefer Torah that's kosher, which is the position of Maribe Rav, and the position of the Rambam and the Rif and the Rimigash and so on. The Rashba disputes that. The Rashba insists that the two issues are really codependent, and they are Haba Hatalia. And it's not entirely clear how we, and the Ramah basically quotes two deus, whether or not you can make whether or not you can make brachos on a Sefer Torah, that's possible. In terms of a Sefer Torah, on the assumption that we do end up making brachos on a Sefer Torah, it's possible. The proof is if you hold that the minhag is like the Mordechai, or in a case where you're following the Ramah, and you're at a stopping point when you find the error, what do? You make a bracha, lacharel, on the Sefer Torah, that's possible. So when it comes to a Sefer Torah, that's Nimsa Bo Psul. So there are three shittas in the Rishonim. The position of the Rashba, of the Rush, and I think the Rashba, is you stop right there, start all over. You don't make any more brachos on this Sefer Torah puzzle. You start from the beginning. And then the position of the Maribe Rav, which the Mechaber adopts and the Ramah adopts halfway, which is that if you find the Psul, wherever you are, if it's in the middle of the Kriya, you just take out a new Sefer Torah and resume from there. And if you find it between Aliyah breaks, the same thing is true. You just made a bracha, that's fine. Take out a new Sefer Torah, and you start the next Aliyah as you normally would with a bracha beforehand. And then the position of the Mordechai in many Chachmei Ashkenaz is that you can't read from a Sefer Torah without making a bracha on it. And therefore, if you find a psul in the Sefer Torah, if you can stop, or you can get to a stopping, if you can stop, you stop there. If you can't, you go to the next stopping point. And then you make a bracha lachareha, and then if there's anything more to read, so then you take out a new Sefer Torah, you make the bracha before then. As I said, the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan say the minhag is like the Mordechai. I'm not sure that that actually is the most widespread practice. I suspect that there are people who do follow the Ramah. So, that's it.